I can stream on Twitch too.
Unless you haven't
take it over.
Me?
Yeah.
Without my power, I'm good.
Oh,
you got it.
Right. Wait, so are you on your phone?
I'm on my computer, but like I don't want to be running like a ton of fucking shit, because the more shit I run, the faster the gas burns in the generator. Even
you.
Like pulling, you know, drawing power into the computer.
You still don't have power?
Nope.
That's wild.
That's why I came home.
So if I fucking like randomly disconnect, it's because shit went down.
What happens if shit goes up?
Well, then I'll probably take a couple second break to go turn on the motherfucking AC, because my upstairs is like 95 plus degrees right now.
Gotcha.
I literally do not go upstairs. I'm living in my office right now. I care about the success of this team.
I care about the success of these nuts.
I mean, I feel like your nuts are pretty successful at the moment, so we're good there.
You bet your sweet ass they are. I'm glad I'm not live for a certain someone to hear that one.
which certain someone?
Ooh, there is multiple certain someones, but I'm talking about
you. Yeah. Why would she care?
Because it's a very unique situation to be in.
Shut the fuck up. Her name is unique.
And my nuts be in unique situations.
You can get Knights of the Old Republic 2 for free with Prime.
You don't want to talk about my nuts no more?
I mean, I'm just...
Do you care about the health and the safety and virility of my nuts?
No.
What a fake friend. All this time, I thought that you had my nuts' best interests.
All right, cut the chatter.
Can't say your nuts have ever come across my mind.
You know what they have come across?
Definitely not me.
Ew, your legs are very spread.
Yeah, dude, explain. It's fucking hot in here. My nuts are sweating.
You gotta do the little Bojangles jiggle to get them from attaching to your thigh.
That's exactly what the fuck I'm doing.
You just need to dot your T's and cross your I's.
You're right. I'll do that.
All right. Well, welcome to the show, everyone. It's your boy Nikita here with Winchy and Exotic. We are getting ready to do our Acolyte episode. I know you guys have probably been waiting to hear what we have to say about this. There's been a lot of stuff going around about this show. This is the first time I've seen... Well, no, it's not the first time, but this is like the first time in a while I've seen something so like overwhelmingly negative about something that Disney has released series-wise. I think obviously, like, if you count the trilogy as a series, that was pretty bad. But like the only thing that came close to the negative shit I've seen is like Boba Fett. And I really don't think this series is that bad. I think the series is pretty fucking good. I'm gonna be completely honest with you. Like, if I die on this hill, like, I'm okay with that, because I have enjoyed it.
We're gonna get into this, and I'm gonna get real mad like talking about these shits, so like say your piece before I get on my like soapbox here.
I was gonna say
you're always on your soapbox.
no, I'm really on my soapbox about this.
Your
one
character's literally flying, Winchy.
Okay, I have the high ground. Portable high ground.
Yeah, portable high ground.
What I was gonna say, the only thing that I was looking forward to in this series was live action Wookiee Jedi, and I got it, so I'm happy.
That's the only thing. Since we found out about Acolyte, he was like, did you guys know live action Wookiee Jedi? It was like a month before it came out. He was like, hey guys, did you know that there's gonna be a live action Wookiee Jedi? It released. He's like, guys, live action Wookiee Jedi.
Especially getting to see him fight, kind of goated.
I thought they did a good job with is it Kelnaka or Kalnaka?
Kalnaka.
Yes, Kalnaka. Kalnaka. It's spelled like Kel, but I think it's Kal.
They say Kalnaka.
Yeah, it's you know, the Wookiee inflection there.
I was really happy with how the series turned out. So one thing that I saw like a lot, I think the biggest thing that people were like upset about was like fucking Star Wars space lesbians, and I was just like,
where?
You know, yeah, exactly. But like, if you know anything about like the Witches of Dathomir, people who are like in these like Force cults, like this is not something that is like too far out there. Like, people were saying like, this is something that could never happen, blah blah blah. Like, I mean, it's not common, but it's definitely feels like something that is easily able to happen. Like, and when you tie in like the time period, knowing that this is like 100 years before we see the events of like the prequels, like, no, like this is good Star Wars like exposition in the grand scheme of like Star Wars lore, because this could be how, you know, like Plagueis gets his inspiration while he's under the rule of Tenebris, like, and trying to be perverse in the Force to create life. And then of course we all know that perversion is what leads to another versions in the Force that's more natural with Anakin Skywalker. I like that this is a prequel to the prequel, where we get like the first like media representation of a vergence that's not Anakin Skywalker.
But technically, and this has been confirmed by Hedlund, the girls are not a vergence. They were created using a vergence, but they are not a vergence. And she specifically said, this is different. We didn't want to... And which is funny, because people were complaining like,
this can't, they retconned Anakin Skywalker, this is, they can't do this, blah blah blah, he was the chosen one.
They weren't a vergence. They were created with a vergence. There was a vergence on Brendok, and she specifically said they're not going to like fully dive into it, so that they can come back to it at a later date in like a book or another series or whatever, and maybe explore it a little bit more. But they were created with a vergence. They are not a vergence themselves. So get fucked, all you stupid shits with your retcon motherfucking bullshit.
He's starting. Here we go. So the twins were created with a vergence, but Anakin Skywalker is a vergence?
Yes. And so then, Qui-Gon specifically said that he is a vergence in the Force in the movie.
So that being said, the vergence that was used by the witches to create the twins, is it like a Force nexus, or like, oh, you said they're leaving that blank. So they're not. Well, I feel like that's a little lame, is to like.
But no, but that's what a vergence is. It's like a Force nexus. So like that hole that we saw that they were doing their little chants and stuff around, I'm pretty sure that is the thing. And that's what they were, you know, that's what Sol and them were looking for on the planet itself, was a vergence, specifically because of the like hyperspace accident. That's a whole thing, and that's like what starts the High Republic era, is this hyperspace incident. And the fact that the planet shouldn't have had life, which is what they were saying, but because they think there is a vergence on the planet, that, you know, the Force gave life to everything there and, you know, made it flourish and whatnot. So it is a Force nexus. They're just, she said, like Hedlund said, they may not like give you all the details here, just so that they like have the capability to come back and like explain it, or have somebody else come there, or maybe even talk about the origins of what happened on Brendok, like how it was, you know, got to this point that it's in. But like, she, you know, it is a vergence. That is what it is.
You know what? I'm okay with that, honestly.
Like, it's okay to leave some stuff, like, you know, out of the we don't have to have every single thing explained to us in detail. Like, you can use your brain a little bit to understand what's going on. And by you, I mean all these fucks who can't read or, you know, pay attention.
Everyone knows Star Wars fans don't have brains. What are you doing?
I know, that's the freaking problem. Pisses me off.
And yet you're friends with me. Am I like the exception?
Well, it's you have the like autistic brain that like remembers everything. So like when you say stupid shit, I know it's just like you're just having a little tism moment.
Does he remember everything though?
He remembers a lot. If it's Star Wars. Now, if I'm like, hey, we're doing this thing today at 3 o'clock, I don't know about that. But like when I'm like, hey, remember this obscure reference in Star Wars, and he'll be like, yeah, blah 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 blah. Yeah.
Look, I came here to have a good time, and honestly, I'm feeling so attacked right now. This is
unfair. You're not even being attacked. I'm literally saying you're like a genius with the Star Wars stuff. You're just bad at remembering, you know, plans.
It's like a day-to-day compliment sandwich. You're saying something mean, then something nice, then something mean again. Like, well, does it make me feel better?
I can't just say nice things about you.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't. There's not enough nice things.
We definitely can't do that.
There's too many toxic people in my life at this point now. It's just, you're ruining me.
How many? Two?
I mean, yes, and that's enough. Wait, who are you thinking of as the second one?
My wife.
Oh, okay, three then.
Oh, Exotic's the other one?
Okay, four.
Oh, so, okay.
It's getting worse. You see? You make me count, and then I realize things are worse than they actually seem. But no, I don't understand the hate. I really don't. Like, I don't get where it's coming from. It seems unfounded. Like, it really does seem unfounded to me.
The thing with the hate boner that these people have, right? It's because A, they hate Disney, and they hate the fact that like they've been more inclusive and whatnot over the recent years. And so everything that Disney releases, like with black main characters or LGBTQ representation or anything, or perceived LGBTQ representation, they're gonna hate on it because they hate people.
They're racist, they're sexist, they hate people who are different than them, and they just want something to be angry at. And the fact that the show is actually good pisses them off even more, because they're like, wow, all these things I hate are in the show, but the show's actually freaking good. Now I have to hate, like, this Star Wars theory guy. I'm totally gonna rag on this dude right now. Every one of his videos is the dumbest fucking shit I have ever seen. That dude is so fucking stupid.
I thought he was leaving the Star Wars creating world
no,
or whatever.
Every single episode that comes out, he drops like 3 or 4 YouTube videos complaining about some dumbass shit just to like get clicks on his stupid YouTube videos. That guy needs to get off the internet.
I mean, if it works for views, it works, right? Is it clickbait, or is he actually like hating on the shit?
Yes, both.
Oh, ooh, not a good look, Star Wars theory. Come on our show so we can shit talk you in person.
Seriously, get him on here. I'll yell at him for a fucking hours.
I know. I had to listen to you yell at the film bros for fucking hours, literally. Multiple times.
And they weren't even complaining about this shit. They were just, you know, had bad takes. This guy's just got his head up his fucking ass. Anyway, next topic.
I also think that like now after seeing what's been released, because right now we're on episode 7, episode 8 will come out this week. I think that Acolyte probably takes the cake for like best on-screen lightsaber choreography now.
Oh my god, I was screaming. Tina thought something was wrong. I was screaming it was so good. I made her come and watch the whole fight with me, and even she, who doesn't, you know, watch Star Wars, was like, holy shit, that is dope.
Bro, the kebab move, that shit. Oh. I screamed so loud. He fucking impales, the stranger impales one Jedi and then pulls the other Jedi onto the saber. I was like, kebab.
And then follows up with the decapitation of both of them. That's so sick. And on top of all that, we come to find out that his helmet not only is made of cortosis, but it blocks all of his senses. So he couldn't see, he couldn't hear. That was all the Force. Homie just slapped them motherfuckers. And he couldn't even see.
I want to know who he is in the grand scheme of things. Because he's saying all he wants is like a pupil. So I don't know who Tenebris's master is. But like the time frame is off for him to be someone like in the scheme of Tenebris Plagueis. So like he's definitely something separate from that rule of two. I want to know where he fits into it.
So my theory, and I've seen this a couple other places, but I think it fits, is that because he said he was a Jedi a long time ago, right? I have a feeling that maybe he was Vernestra's apprentice or Padawan, because the scars that you see on his back and the fact that he has the Shoto saber, The scars on his back look, they don't look like lightsaber attacks, but we know that they were from a Force user because he's kind of insinuated that. They look like whip marks. I feel like he was Vernestra's apprentice and she tried to off him because, you know, he got a little too uppity, right? And now, and the way that she's been acting, where she was like something to tip the scales or whatever, I think he was, and she's over 100 years old at this point. She's from the High Republic book, so she has some established like canon lore, right? So she's old, and so him saying that like, oh, I was a Jedi a long time ago, or, you know, trained as a Padawan a long time ago, kind of makes me think that maybe it was Vernestra, and the fact that we focus on her so much, that they're very connected. Now, I don't think 100% that he is a part of the rule of two. I think maybe he found like a holocron or something and is like, you know, imitating or trying to like, maybe he thinks the Sith are actually died out and he's trying to like restart the, you know, the Sith line, that kind of thing. He definitely has like some knowledge of the Sith, obviously, because he understands the rule of two, and most of the other Jedi have no clue even what a Sith is. So like, I think he's gotten some knowledge, you know, like I said, holocron or otherwise, or maybe he found like a nexus, maybe like on the planet that he's on, because the planet that he's on has a cortosis veins. And we know that like Tenebris and them had a you know, secret operations on a planet with cortosis veins, and cortosis veins aren't that common. So potentially there's some tie in there that like maybe he found some of Tenebris or, you know, Plagueis or whatever's content or media or whatever. Like maybe he got some of that stuff somehow and he's just trained himself to be this badass. But if you can imagine, like,
what if he's like the Maul for Tenebris or the Maul for Plagueis, right?
Like, right, the failed apprentice or like the one. That was my other theory, is maybe he did train under them and like just didn't cut it, or like they found somebody better, kicked him out, that kind of thing. That's totally, you know, he could have learned about the rule of two and everything from them. But either way, if he's not part of the rule of two and he's still this fucking badass, just imagine how insane the Sith lords are that we're potentially going to see next episode, because I do believe Hedlund said we will see two Sith in this series.
Yeah, my whole thing thinking about that, I was like, maybe he wants a master to take over his current master, or an apprentice to take over his current master, and my thought process went straight to Plagueis. So that's who I think that he is under, in my opinion.
And I don't think we know, is Tenebris canon, or is he only legend so far?
He's only legend so far. Where the time frame falls, so like, since this is 100 years before the Phantom Menace, right?
Yeah. 132.
So, okay, this is 132. So that means like...
So it's like 80 years before.
Plagueis is young. So I don't think that this would be a Plagueis like acolyte. I think this would have to be like Tenebris. Tenebris would be like probably just trying to start finding an apprentice at this point.
So either we're going to see Tenebris, or we're going to see Cannon's they may change it into some other person, but it'll be like Tenebris's counterpart in canon.
That's what I would think.
So I'm excited to see who that, you know, could be. I even have some ideas that I don't maybe think it's true, but it could be Vernestra, even though she has like some canon stuff where people are like, it can't be her, blah, blah, blah. But like, it totally could be. She could be hiding right there in plain sight in the Jedi Order. She is like putting in all those like political, you know, calls and whatnot, trying to keep people out of the Jedi's business, keep them from investigating, keep the Jedi, like, you know, in the power position that they're building. So she could be like either a Sith or a partner to the Sith, like helping them with the, you know, the eventual agenda that culminates with Palpatine's takeover. I have theories. You know, there could be a season two. We may not even get all the answers this season, but yeah.
They're doing eight episodes. I don't think there's going to be a season two. I think they're going to pull a Kenobi and a Fett on this one.
No, she said like they're leaving enough up in the air that they can do a season two. It's not confirmed or anything, and we'll see like with the outcome of everything if they do it. But I think she said there's enough content and enough stuff that they'll leave. Not unfinished, but like able to, you know, stuff that they could progress a storyline with it. So potentially we could see a season two if they deem it, you know, worth producing.
I'd be down for a season two. I've liked it. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. If I had to give this right now, like where it is, episode 7, like a rating out of 1 out of 10, I give it a 7.5. Easy peasy.
That's exactly what I would give it to. Yeah, I would give it a 7.5. I think the story itself, I think, is very good. I think they've done a good job. Like the flashbacks, you know, like initially we only saw Osha's perspective for what happened on Brindock, and people were so mad about that. You know, like, oh, how could the witches die in the fire? Blah, blah, blah. This is bullshit. Like, there's no way. You know, and it was like, we only saw the one girl's perspective. We never saw any of the other things that happened. We know other stuff did happen. So like there's that whole aspect where they're telling us the past and the present, like in tandem. I love the little snippets that we're getting. I think it's very good. I do have some like issues with not the actors and the actresses themselves, but like some of the dialogue and the way they deliver it, I think just feels a little, not cringe, but like forced. It feels like a little too scripted, if that makes sense to you. Like some of the main, like the Osha and May, some of their lines are just, they seem a little forced. Like maybe they need a little more like practice in like the acting industry. I don't know. It just, there's some parts
like,
that I've just,
I think it's an understandable cringe, because like if you had an estranged relationship from your sister and the last thing you saw was like a fight, your whole family got fucking melt or like burned down in a fortress, citadel, whatever, and then you saw each other for the first time in I don't know how many years, I feel like it'd be a little awkward, which could lead to some cringe moments. I feel like it's understandable.
Yeah, I also feel like some of like when Osha is interacting with like specifically with Sol, like Sol has great delivery on his stuff, but I feel like some of her interactions with him, like from her side, just feel a little awkward. So like there are definitely some complaints I've had about like dialogue delivery, but in terms of overall story, I think they're doing a great job and like not giving us everything up front and explaining every single little bit to us, you know, just hand feeding it to us, which is one of the things that this stupid Star Wars theory motherfucker was complaining about. Fuck that guy. Like, wait, like let the show do its thing before you start having a little conniption fit. Like the whole Ki-Adi Mundi stuff. Are you shitting me?
Wait, what do you say like, about Ki-Adi?
Oh, so there was a huge uproar about the fact that Ki-Adi Mundi, A, was in the show at all, because they're like, in Legends he had, his birthday was blah blah blah, and like, first of all, he has no birth date in canon. So they can pull him in. His species lives a while. That's totally fine. And then they're like,
Assyrian, right?
Yeah, I think they have a pretty, the male side at least has a
pretty. I mean, you also got to understand that, like, in the Star Wars universe, humans live to like 120. So like people in the, who have the Force probably live to like 150 as is. And I think he's Assyrian. Like, and I know that they live a decent amount of time, so 200 years doesn't seem that much of a leap, honestly.
And so on top of that, the fact that he was there in the initial like meeting that they had with Vernestra, where they were like trying to figure out who trained Mei and whatnot. And first of all, not at this point, the word Sith had never once been mentioned in the show, right? And people were having a absolute fucking fit about the fact that in Phantom Menace, Ki-Adi-Mundi is the one that says the Sith haven't been seen for a millennia or 1,000 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So either it's a cover-up by the Jedi that this happened, that they met, you know, Chimaer and he called himself a Sith, or everyone fucking dies and nobody gets to report back. And it was, this was like episode 2 or episode 3, and they're complaining about this. And then literally the next like 2 episodes, we see everyone dies. And it's like, wow, are we vindicated or not, you stupid motherfuckers with your complaints? Like, they totally have kept canon, you know, information in mind. Like, they definitely have not left, like, these little plot holes in here so far. The only one left from the fight with Chimaer is Sol. And Mei's not gonna say shit. I have high doubts that Mei would say anything, because she didn't even know that he was a Sith. She just called him Master, and she was an acolyte. And Osha, I mean, look at it. She's going to fucking join him. She's the acolyte.
No,
so,
the Star Wars fans tell it. This is the death of Star Wars, clearly.
And I also love the fact that Hedlund went out, because people were, you know, people review bomb every single episode before it even drops. And she went on, you know, some interview and they asked her, like, what do you think about the review bombing? And she was like, you think I give a fuck about the review bombers? She was like, that's, you think that's going to stop us? Yeah, she was literally like, they do nothing. They don't scare me. It has no effect on like how I feel about the outcome of this show or how that show actually does. Like, we have our own fucking metrics besides your stupid like Metacritic reviews or whatever. Like, your review bombs mean nothing. And
there is one thing I did want to mention, because it was a little strange to me. So like, do we know what the time gap between the events,
I think it's 16.
60. Okay, so if Torben was under a like 10-year bout of being silent, how the fuck did that bitch become a master from a Padawan in 6 years?
Well, it'd be 8 years, because he's been in the thing for 8 years, I think he said.
No, he hasn't talked to anyone for 10 years, is what they said. So
I thought it was 8. Either way,
if it's been 16 years.
But keep in mind that this is not the Jedi Order that we see in The Phantom Menace. This is, and we can see that in their, like, actions, the fact that they're, like, a Jedi does not draw a weapon on, like, an unarmed person, that kind of thing, or, like, without the intent to kill. Like, they have a different philosophy. People are also complaining about that. And it's like, what do you mean? It's literally a different time period. It's, like, 130 years before The Phantom Menace. You don't think that maybe a few things might have changed along the way? Like, it's a different time. It's a different culture. They all talk differently. They dress differently than the Jedi that we see in The Phantom Menace. Like, everything is different. It is a completely different time.
I still think it's impressive to become a master in that short of a time, regardless of what time frame it is. 6 years from a Padawan? Like, he wasn't even a knight yet.
Homie absolutely had some trauma that he was trying to work through, and he, like, pushed himself hard through the Jedi, you know, order, like, to get to the point, maybe even where, like, they were like, we won't teach you the method to, you know, like, maybe they were like, we won't teach you the way of, like, going into this, like, trance silence thing until you've, you know, reached master, because maybe it's too dangerous for a Padawan or something like that, right? Like, there's totally some explanations for what happened. And dude was freaking traumatized. Like, let's be real. He got possessed by Mother Anaseya. He just wanted to go freaking home, and then his desire to go home leads to the death of all the witches, what they think is the death of Mei, the possession of Kel Naka. Shit went down. Homie's got some trauma to work through. So, I mean,
the Jedi Order, go big or go home, Torben. I want to go the fuck home!
Also, I don't think like, I think the rank of Jedi Master is a little different than what we see in, you know, the prequels, because, like, we see Anakin, they say, like, we'll give you a spot on the council, but we're not going to give you the position of master. But they never said that to be a master, you had to be on the council. And we kind of see that here, because Indara, at the time of the Brindock stuff, she was a master, but she wasn't on the council. She talked to the council, but she wasn't on the council. And Saul here in the story now is also a master. He ain't on the council. So, like, wait,
that's always been a precedent. Like, you could have always been a master and not been on the council. That was established.
What I'm saying is, like, but in the prequels, we don't really see, like,
Qui-Gon.
Sure. But, like, we don't see a ton of people who get to the rank. Like, we don't see them becoming masters that much in the prequels. So, I think it's just, like, people are just like, how can you get master? Well, we don't really know what the requirements are.
Yeah, and, like, the...
Yeah, we do. Well, I guess you're right. In Legends, we do. Because in Legends, mm-hmm. to become a master, you have to be a knight that has trained another a Padawan to knighthood. That was, like, the thing to become a master.
That ain't even that hard either.
But, I mean, you could also take into account that maybe the events that happened on Brendok helped kind of push him closer up there as well.
But he fucked up!
Yeah, but they didn't tell the truth about what
they
happened.
Did, they did keep it secret. So yeah, he may have gotten, like, props for what happened there. He may have gotten false, like, accolades,
I mean,
for what happened.
That makes more sense on why he killed himself then.
Yeah, he didn't do too well against Cal Naka, but he still kind of held his own in that fight a little bit.
Until he got choked out.
Yeah, no, but everyone
was doing well in them fights. Like, even Jeki. Like, Jeki being able to hold her own against the stranger was fucking impressive as a Padawan.
Dual wielding and breaking his helmet, too.
With her fists and her elbow. She didn't even break it with her saber. She just beat the shit out of that helmet.
I'm pretty sure she hit it with the hilt of the saber, right?
I think so. Yeah. Because she realized, like, it was shorting the saber.
Against them, too?
No. No, she used...
No, she picked up somebody else's.
Oh, wait, then how did his saber short out that one time?
Yord used the helmet against him.
Oh, Yord. Oh, dude, before Yord got his fucking shit snapped.
Yeah.
I had to give him props, though. It was a smart, like, you know, quick thinking. See helmet, realize it's short saber, hit saber, short the saber, try to beat the crap out of the dude. He just, you know,
he
skilled
lost the hands.
Yeah. The thought was there, but the execution was wrong.
Yeah, I just the hate that this series has garnered is just unfounded. I like it. I really do. I've enjoyed it. I'm hoping that it hasn't been confirmed that it's just 8 episodes and then done.
They said it was 8 episodes. Oh, like, that's 95% sure. Unless they changed their mind, but
pretty much all of their TV series are 8 episodes except Andor. So
Andor is in a league of its own.
Yes. Honestly, nothing really compares to Andor, but I love that we see, you know, we talk about being seduced to the dark side, and Chimer is 100% showing us, like, the seduction of the dark side, the freedom, the power. He is selling that shit to Osha like a master car salesman.
Oh, yeah, especially when she was like, is this the shit that you told my sister? And he was like, I thought she was different. Like, I did not expect that answer. Like, I did not expect him to hit her with that so fast and so succinctly, where she was just like, well, damn, okay.
We also kind of see, like, not only Chimer, but Saul, both of them had a connection to Osha where they felt like they needed to train her. Like, she was the one that they needed to train. Saul wanted her as his Padawan so bad. And now Chimer, having met her and, like, talked to her, was like, fuck your sister, you my Padawan now, or my apprentice, or my acolyte, whatever, right? He's gonna go to, like, every freaking length to keep her as his apprentice. And she's totally gonna eat it up once she finds out that freaking Saul was the one that murked her fucking mom. Her mom, who was literally trying to save her. She did the teleport stuff with Mei, trying to protect Mei, who Saul couldn't identify that it was actually Mei. He thought it was Osha. But she goes phantom mode to go stop the fire to save Osha. And Saul has a little panic attack and murks her. And then kills Mei, what he thinks is kills Mei so that he can have Osha.
I don't think that was like a phantom mode. I believe like, because those witches are all about sacrifice. I believe like that's like them sacrificing themselves to empower somebody else.
No, no, but we see, so like when Sol and Torben are there in the courtyard, like fighting with Coral, right? Mm-hmm. Coral goes incorporeal and disappears, right? And then they look up to where the other witches were and they're all gone, and then immediately it pans to them doing the little chant. They all did that shit and moved to the little chant circle. So it's more like a movement ability rather than a sacrifice or a possession ability. I literally think Mother Anasea was trying to get to Osha as fast as possible.
I love that she hit Sol with the black woman guilt right there. Like, I was gonna let her go, but you killed
She
me.
Chose you.
I was like, that's black woman guilt right there. I know that all too well. I grew up with that shit. That part made me laugh a little bit. I was like, I had to like hold it in. I was like, ooh.
Right in her. And Coral's still alive.
Wait, really?
Yes, Coral is still alive.
How do you know that?
Headland, I believe, confirmed it, and also we never saw Coral's body.
Which one was Coral?
She's the Zabrak.
The Zabrak, okay.
Yeah.
I just couldn't put a face to the name.
Yeah, she was the one that birthed the kids, which, again, it was not some lesbian thing, you stupid fucks. She literally said she created them with the damn force, you dumb motherfuckers.
I mean, if you're a woman who has kids with another woman, I could see how you could make the jump to space lesbian. It's not that far of a leap, honestly.
Was there ever any romantic, like...
No. I believe she was just a surrogate. No,
but the way they looked at each other, them bitches were in love. Shut up.
They're witches. They're all women living in a coven. They were not lovers.
If anything, it was Coral looking up to the mother. Fuck. What's her name?
That's like saying...
They were definitely having a lover's quarrel when they pulled Osha and May out of the forest. Like, that was... What do you call that if not a lover's quarrel?
No, I call that two parents disagreeing. On how their parents didn't say that they were lovers, just, you know, biological parents and or forceological parents.
One is a biological forceological. Shut the fuck up.
That's like saying that Shmi and Plagueis or which I don't remember if it was Plagueis or Palpatine that
cause it was Plagueis.
Okay, well, that's like saying Shmi and Plagueis are lovers because...
Well, no, Plagueis didn't
Plagueis
create...
put Anakin in there. Yeah, no. He did. Well, no. It's in the comics. It is confirmed in canon now.
Oh.
I'll need a fact check on that. Because what I remember...
Brick, give me that fact check.
The Force answered Plagueis's, like, his experiment with Anakin.
That's how it was in Legends, and that's what I was under the impression of. I didn't know that he actually impregnated Shmi with something.
I've seen multiple things recently. I believe it's in the Darth Vader comics that have come out.
Fact check, Brick3PO.
Yeah, from what I remember, it was Anakin was the answer to Plagueis
by the
Force.
Yeah, it was a response to his sin of perverting the Force.
Yeah, trying to create another Force, whatever it is called.
All right, Brick3PO is doing his boobity boppity stuff. Yeah, did Plagueis implant Anakin into Shmi some way, shape, or form, whether it be force or with his what race is he? He's one of them big head fuckers. I forget what
he's
called.
Like part of the banking
moon. He's a moon. He's a moon. I think that's what they're called. Did he put his moon penis inside of her?
I feel like I'm totally fine with admitting if I'm 100% wrong, but I've seen a couple things
apology
about
video
it recently.
If you're wrong, apology video if you're wrong.
I will apologize in this video once we get the fact check.
No, no, no. You gotta make... If I had to make my own separate fucking video, you gotta make your own separate video.
Fuck you.
Okay?
There's my apology.
There might be an angry black woman who wants to fight you. Okay, let's see.
So that was in Legends.
Yeah, because I feel like if Plagueis created Anakin, he wouldn't just be like, who's random bitch? I feel like if he was gonna pick somebody, he'd pick somebody close so he'd be able to get the chosen one directly after.
So I don't think this counts. That canon comic, I'm pretty sure that's Dark Dimension Vader, which would be an alternate timeline where fucking Vader mercs all the Jedi, including fucking Yoda. That shit was brutal.
Okay, so I 100% maybe I'm wrong. We'll say I'm wrong here, but either way.
We could. Let's go.
All right, I am sorry. I'm stupid.
Nah, you gotta watch that video. You might as well not even apologize now. I don't care.
Either way, we may still find out that this is where they learn how to create Anakin, if that they did, because it's not confirmed or denied in canon.
I think that this is what gives them the information where the information they need to create the perversion that creates Anakin. I am fully on line with that.
Okay.
All right, any other thoughts that haven't been said so far? Did you get all your soapbox preaching out, Mr. Winchy?
Let me think.
Okay,
so the fact that people were mad that it was obvious that Chimaer was the master, shut the fuck up. Not everything has to be some like secret dark surprise plot line. Like, some things are okay if they're like the viewer can infer it from what's, you know, like happening in the show. Like, there are plenty of things where you know who the bad guy is just by like context clues and stuff. But the main characters don't, so it's still a surprise to them. It's perfectly fucking fine, you stupid fucking critic dumbasses. Thank you. All right, I'm good.
Yeah, I don't think they could have found out. They could not have found a better actor for Chimaer.
He's so fucking good, man. I want to go to the dark side. he got me wanting to hang up my fucking Beskar and join his ass. I won't, but I had the feeling. I think I've yelled enough. Oh, one more thing. Oh. Star Wars Theory, go fuck yourself, you stupid motherfucker. Get fucked. I hope you watch this, you dumb bitch.
Yeah, fuck this city. You know what? That line has never had more relevance since the city doesn't have power still, but...
I'm 100% on board with that.
Abandon reason. No, only war. All right, everyone. Well, that has been our episode on The Acolyte. Psych, bitches. We back. We ready to talk about this fucking finale? Holy shit!
What the fuck, man?
Can I just say one word? Plagueis! Plagueis!
Oh, dude. You know, all these people complaining, saying, get Hedlund out of here, blah, blah, blah. Y'all can all suck fat ones, dude.
This was small ones fire. Too.
You can suck whatever you want as long as you're sucking it and you don't like it.
Yo, so good. Bro, let's talk about this shit.
Fucking hooked. Hooked, man. Oh, God.
All right. Naysayers can eat a sack of shit. Like, honestly, I knew when I was saying that, like, this fucking series was good. I meant it. I said it with my, like, my entire chest, all three of my balls, my fourth nipple. Like, I mean that shit. Like, this has been a great series. It's still, like, it's not Andor. Andor will always be the number one series that Disney has put out to me so far. But this is cooking number two. Dead ass.
I was gonna say, this is obviously my favorite. Top Andor, just because of, it was one Wookie. Thing, now it's two. Yeah. Wookie Jedi and Plagueis, his first on-screen appearance.
And look, y'all know me. Y'all know I love The Mandalorian, but Mandalorian is now my number three favorite show that Disney has put out.
Bro, it was just so good. Like, Plagueis had what, maybe like 5 seconds of screen time, no lines, and it made everything so fucking worth it. It wasn't even like the best part, but like the fact that he was in there, the fact that they just showed it on a fucking planet that has Cretaceous and is
they really took those parts of Legends that like people were speculating the whole time and they were like, yes, you are right, this was them the whole fucking time.
I think of all of them, of all of the series, this series has definitely been like a shout out to the Legends fans, in my opinion. Like, I think this has been the biggest shout out from Disney, saying like, hey, we know that, like, if you're talking about like the sequel trilogy, like we fucked up, but like, here is for those people who are the true Star Wars fans who still stuck around. Like, we're not making all of Legends, you know, like the new canon, but we'll give you some shit that will make you fucking, you know, like, we see you. It's Legends visibility. That's what it is.
And you know, I haven't read like High Republic yet. We haven't, neither of you. You haven't started yet, right?
No, I still got 4 more books left of Legends, and then I'm gonna start High Republic immediately.
So, but I mean, the High Republic fans are, you know, saying that this ties in a lot of little snippets and stuff, and I think it's fantastic. Like, us as Legends fans are just like, this is amazing, this is awesome. And the High Republic people, who have even more context than we do, are probably just like, you know, shitting themselves right now is so good.
I want to tomorrow. I know tomorrow is going to be a fucking shit show on Reddit and on Twitter because there's still going to be people. Yeah, there's still going to be people finding shit wrong with this. I don't know how, but they're going to do it.
I only had like one complaint with this entire episode. And it was just when the twins were like boxing each other. I know what they were doing there. I immediately saw what they were doing, where they were both throwing like the same moves and stuff. It's kind of like a callback to Anakin and Obi-Wan, how they were so in sync when they were fighting because they trained together for forever. However, like with the girls, they're literally the same person, so of course they're gonna throw the same moves, kind of thing. It just was like 10 seconds of it was kind of awkward, and then that whole time I was just like, bring back the red lightsaber guy, please.
Outside of the Plagueis moment, one of my favorite things was the corruption of the Kyber crystal. That little bit right there. Yes or no, she bled the crystal.
Dude, that's what I was pinging in the chat. I was like, she did the thing. I didn't want to spoil it for you, but I was like, holy fuck, she's bleeding that freaking crystal.
Is that the first time we see a Kyber crystal actively getting bled on screen?
Yes.
Well, do you count the Cal Kestis games?
That's not on screen, no, though.
On screen.
That's, I mean, it's like on a screen.
Okay, you know what we mean, okay, though.
Fuck this guy.
Yeah, technically, but first time, definitely first time live action, but it did happen in the game.
First, hey, time Exotics are game guy.
I did not enjoy those games, so.
I haven't played them, but I've seen that clip a couple times. But yeah, dude, bleeding the crystal, like realizing that she's bleeding the crystal right after she murks Sol, oh, with the choke. Yes.
Bro, the second.
Killed him without a weapon.
The second the crystal dropped and I saw it like kind of like, I don't know if it dislodged, but like where you could see it in the barrel of the saber, and I saw her pick it up, I was like, that bitch finna get bled. I was like, I just knew it. I fucking knew it.
And that is, that was so well done. And like, I mean, you saw it coming, like when Mei starts talking to Sol, like, you know, Osha's coming in for the kill, right?
Yeah.
And she's just, you know, but like, you saw it coming and it was still just so good. And she's so, like, caught up in her emotions, even when, like, Chimera comes to, like, comfort her a little bit, she goes to swing at him. So good.
Like, whenever she first ignites after bleeding the saber, you can still, like, as it's changing colors, it was still amazing, because you can still kind of see that it was fighting back. Like, her, I guess, her theoretical light side was fighting back the dark, and then it just finally just completely overtook her.
That tip tried to stay blue.
I never want my tip to stay blue.
Wait, I hope you don't choke it that hard, but...
Yeah, choke that chicken. So one thing that I will say too, since you mentioned one thing that you didn't like, one thing that I didn't like in the episode that I felt was a little unnecessary was like the hand holding at the end. Like, I didn't get it. Like, what was the point of that? Like, I understand that they're in like in cahoots with each other, but like, why hand holding? That seems
okay,
very
here's where my theories come in.
Okay,
this is where my theories come in. Also, it's not unSith like because Sith are free to feel their emotions. That was the
yes,
whole,
but like where in this was there room for like
this is the seduction. The seduction of the dark side. What we like, you know, we talk about how Anakin was seduced to the dark side, right? Look at Osha, man. She straight up just bought into that. That is the seduction. And like they showed the tension a little bit in the you know, a previous episode, but like the chemistry is there and they're showing it, and this is where my theories start. Because we have to get from them to Palpatine somehow.
You think those are Palpatine's parents?
Grandparents, maybe? Creators?
Oh, shit.
We don't know how he was born.
Yeah, we do. But he...
In canon?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know about canon.
In canon,
I know that in Legends, he was born and he fucking murked his dad at like the age of 6 or something like that.
So in canon... Damn, Brick3PO, where are you at?
Oh, we don't have Brick.
Checker.
Do we know who his parents are?
It was some like Naboo family, no?
It's just the Palpatine family.
Yeah, but they're a royal family. I feel like you need more than, because he would only have like 50 to 70 years to establish as a royal family on Naboo. I don't know. That doesn't line up to me, in my opinion.
But okay, so could he have been like we don't know, right? Like maybe they are. Like maybe Chimera is. We don't know his last name.
That's true.
I mean, technically,
so really I just want to like throw in that those quotes that I, sorry, Exotic, I'm cutting you off.
Oh,
I'm
going to
keep doing it. So like Hedlund said in regards, she was asked about Plagueis, like, you know, are you going to be like continuing the Plagueis story? Are you going to tell that story? And she's like, if I continue to get to tell this story, I know how I'd like it to play out. And I would say it's going to be pretty complicated and messy. And she says the Sith are looking for, like, an atomic bomb. They're looking for the card that they can have over the Jedi, the ace in the hole, right? What is the Force power they don't have? And so far, they're in an arms race, and the Jedi don't even know that the arms race is happening. And Osha is the start of that, like, culmination into Anakin. Right? Like, if Hedlund is saying that they're looking for the atomic bomb, they're trying to, you know, start up their own Manhattan Project kind of thing, right? Right? It's either Palpatine or Anakin is the culmination of their plans. Or both. We got 100 years.
This is a bit of a reach, in my opinion, but I'm not opposed to it.
I'm not saying they have to be the grandparents, but, like, clearly, Osha is the key, right? So, either she has kids, or they cut her up and figure out how they did it. Her and May merge into one being. I have no clue, right? Like, there's a whole load of things that could possibly happen, but this is the start of the downfall of the Jedi right here, this event.
I was gonna say, like, that's one thing that just didn't, like, sit well with me, I guess. Like, why did they have to leave May behind? Like, why couldn't May just go with Osha and Kymir?
See, that's the point that I was about to bring up, is the, like, the symbolism in their outfits in that last one, because May's in the white and Osha's in the black. So, like, I like that that's what happened. Like, May ends up with the Jedi, Osha ends up with the Sith. And so I think that that's okay. Like, I think that that part is okay. I'm not saying that, like, it's completely justified. And I was expecting, like, a merger to happen, honestly. But I'm not disappointed where this goes, because with the fucking Yoda spoiler at the end, I am excited, because this was, like, the perfect amount of just, like, foreshadowing for a second season and seeing what happens now.
And you know that every single thing that they do from now on, the Jedi don't find out about, or is a cover-up, because up until Phantom Menace, the Sith aren't seen again, right? Or they're not talked about that they've been seen, right? So whatever happens with May, the Sith don't get found out.
And I'm not gonna lie, when Venestra walked into that room and said master, I really thought it was gonna end up being like Plagueis for a second, and then I saw the ears. Like, I was so ready for her to just be an evil bitch. I was so ready for it.
And they kind of played it like that too, because at the beginning, she, or like towards the beginning, she gets on like a, she's at the table, right? And she tries to make a call, and they're like, this is like not proper like protocol, but I'll see what I can do. I think she was calling to see if she could get a meeting with Yoda, but could be someone else. But they did play it as like her trying to be sneaky or something, which did lead me, you know, into like maybe she is the evil one. I mean she is covering stuff up for sure.
She lied on my boy Soul caught a stray posthumously. Like I'm upset about it. I'm gonna be upset about it.
I think it was a good move on her part to do that, obviously, because that guy, that senator, he was gonna bury her. He was eating her up in that, like, beginning scene where he's talking to her. Like, he was destroying the Jedi right there. I loved that little scene. That senator had it on him. She had to do something.
He had that motherfucking thang on him.
Had that dog in him. Yeah, he was... I really enjoyed that scene. Like, I'm not a huge, like, fan of, you know, a lot of the politics in Star Wars that much, but that senator, I would vote for him.
Yeah, I guess you're not a huge fan...
Wait, you're not a huge fan of the politics in Star Wars? That's like half of Star Wars. That's what makes Andor good.
No, I like politics, but I'm not like, I don't want to sit in the Senate and listen to, you know, Palpatine give a speech kind of thing.
Okay, fair.
But I was going to say that that senator kind of chewing into her and like the Jedi as a cult, I guess that's kind of like sowing the seeds for whenever Palpatine turns the Senate on the Jedi. And stuff like that kind of just like pushes like the Jedi out of the Senate's eye, or like the Senate's, I can't even fucking think of the word, fuck.
I mean, it's how he gets Anakin on the council.
Well, you also gotta think too that, you know, like the senator that we saw is of the minority, like right now on the, as far as opinion of Jedi go. And we do know that the Trade Federation exists because of the beginning scene with Osha. So, like, you know, maybe he's the one who gives the Separatist moment, like, it's little anti-Jedi sentiment push.
That's a actually fairly valid theory, I would think. Mm-hmm.
It's got to start somewhere, right? It makes sense for it to start there.
And I got it. You know what? As much as badass as Kymir was, Soul was putting up a freaking fight. I mean, he beat him.
Yeah.
Soul really was, he earned the title of Master Jedi. I'll give him that.
I'm still waiting on a on-screen Jedi to pull an Anakin, like where Anakin, you know how Anakin murks Dooku in episode 3? Like, we've yet to see a Jedi do that on screen, and I want to see it. I want to see someone else besides Anakin do it.
I think Sol could have done it here. If Mei and Osha weren't there, I think he might have done it. He was that mad.
Nah, I don't think so, man. I don't think so.
I will destroy you if I must.
If I must. That's the Jedi, like.
Oh, he must.
No, because, like, he was unarmed. Like, he cut his lightsaber emitter off so he couldn't use it anymore, so he didn't have to. Because I don't think there was any way at that point that Chimera could have killed him. He didn't have a weapon.
He only cut off the top half. Yeah. He still had the Shoto.
Oh, you know what? I didn't even think about that. You're right. Ooh. Okay, you're right. Soul might have actually murked him if Mei and Osha weren't there. Yeah, I'll give you that one.
Yeah, because, I mean, you got to think, like, Soul was already filled with emotions and all that shit being back in that place. So his emotions probably would have just overtaken him.
Yeah, like, he's literally standing in the spot where he killed Anasea. And, dude, the way that Chimera uses the force, like, pulls his sabers, that does something to me. When he clicks them together again, ooh.
The whole thing was great. So before we cut this episode to an end, let's go ahead and give what our true ratings for the entirety of season one of Acolyte is. I'll start it off. So I'm going to give the entire series, like, so far, I'm giving it an 8.7 out of 10. Like truly, I thought that this was excellent. And for reference, I give Andor like a 9.4. So, like, I think that this was, I think the writing was good. Of course, there was a couple of sloppy parts that I disagree with. Some of the acting was a little, like, cringe, weak, you know, and I don't think that's part of the writing. I think that's the actors, for once, as opposed to, like, how the prequels were, like, more of the writing and not the actors. And so, like, I think that this was well done. It has great lead-up potential for another season, and I am satisfied where it left off, the little hints that we got in the last episode. So, yeah, my final rating is an 8.7 out of 10 for this one.
I was probably going to give it, like, an 8.9 because I did enjoy it quite a bit. It would be a 9, but there is one thing that I didn't really like, and that was, like, in the High Republic books, you see a lot of really ornate sabers and stuff like that, and you don't see really any of those in here, because I really love just, like, saber designs and everything like that, and pretty much all the ones we see on screen are just really dull and bland.
Yeah, you know what, I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah, that's what, because a lot of them look like Souls, kind of look like a variation of Cal Kestis's. A lot of them, like a lot of the other ones, kind of looked big. They also looked like big and kind of bulky for the hand, mm-hmm. too. Like, they also, so, they kind of looked like a, like Ben Solo's Jedi saber. They kind of looked like that one, just like shaved around the edges a little bit. Like,
they did address that in some, like, interview comments. Hedlund addressed that. So the reason for the big sabers is the new type of blade that they put in that makes the blades look better on screen. And you have to admit, the blades look good.
They do.
And the bigger hilt is to accommodate that. It also, she said, changes the forms because of the bigger hilt. It changes actually, like, the forms that they use when they're fighting. So, like, Vapa doesn't even exist yet.
It looked like they were fighting in Makashi. I can't, don't quote me on that, but it looked very, like, aggressive, straightforward, parry thrust parry.
Chimera definitely has some Dooku in him, or Dooku has some Chimera in him,
I guess, because Dooku's not born yet.
Yeah, Dooku, yeah. Dooku don't even have thought yet.
So what would your rating be, Winchy?
My rating, 9 out of 10. I want to give it, you know, more than a 9, just because, again, like those cringe things we talked about, that some of the acting, just like I said, it just felt a little too choppy to me. Story wise, combat wise, lore potential, little tidbits of cameos, that kind of thing. Amazing. Fantastic. I, for reference, I give Andor 9.5. So
yeah, I mean, like, we're within 0.3 of each other. I'm 8.7, he's 8.9, you're 9. So, like, yeah, we're about of the same mind on this. This was a good series. Like, mm-hmm. Good job, Hedlund. Good job, Disney. Like, this is the kind of moments that we, like, of course Disney's gonna fuck up, you know, with in between, like, you know, with Bad Batch, with Boba Fett, but, like, this was a good one. This was a good effort from Disney, and I like it, not only for, like, the inclusion reasons with, like, diversity and stuff, but also throwing in the you know, some of the legend stuff back for us, you know, older fans, and also giving like pathways for new stories for the newer fans too, and new stories for the older fans as well. Like, yeah, kudos to Disney. I'll give them a little round of applause for this one.
Yeah, it definitely does not deserve the hate that it's been receiving.
You know, I saw some comment from somebody who said Disney needs to have people in the writing room who are not Star Wars fans. And I'll explain what they said. It was like Hedlund, I believe, said that they brought in people who were not like diehard fans, like brought in from, you know, raised on Star Wars kind of thing, right? To help them like critique and design this show. And there's no content or media that you had to have consumed to enjoy this show. Like, okay, Vernestra's a little tie-in, Yoda's a little tie-in, and the 5 seconds of Plagueis we see is a little tie-in. Everything else, you don't need to know anything else about Star Wars to enjoy this show. Whereas like a Filoni series, you have to have watched every single Star Wars thing that has ever come out to get all the little references and stuff in there. So I think they did a really good job of designing, or, you know, building a show that anybody can watch.
Kudos to you, Disney. You did a good one. Hedlund, if you ever hear this somehow, we would love to have you on the show. You're doing your shit, girl. You're doing your shit. All right, guys. Well, this has been the conclusion of our little episode about The Acolyte. You got to hear our first part where we talked about the first 7 episodes, and then we concluded with the finale. Super excited to see what Disney brings out next. This has been this was a great showing from Disney. Again, I've said it like 4 or 5 times now, but kudos to Disney. Kudos to Hedlund. This was some good shit. This is the stuff that I want to see. This is how I want the new generation of Star Wars fans to experience Star Wars. You get the little bit of the old, you get some new stuff, and you don't necessarily have to have watched everything to fucking understand. This is a good move from Disney. Basically, that's the show. Make sure you follow us wherever you get your podcast fix from, whether it be on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, The Force Unscripted, at Force Unscripted. On Twitter, formerly known as X, and Winchy, anything to say about that website?
Well, since my last comment on the website was just yesterday, and I spent all the time I had that was free editing the episode that we haven't dropped yet that we were supposed to, which is this one, I have no updates on the supposed alleged website.
Yeah, coming soon. I think that's the only update we need.
The man, the myth, the legend, the bullshit, Winchy Kabur.
Look.
May the Force be with you, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Have a good one.